So over the past few months, a battle has been brewing over land in Bukop. It's known as the Kustas, where a group of community members created a sustainable food garden last year. Now, the garden is situated in the Pepper Street cul-de-sac on property that's owned by Darul Fala Study Group, and it's said to be Wakaf land. Now, the Sustainable Bukop Association, they've been accused of occupying the land without permission from the owners. Okay, so last month, Darul Fala locked the gates to the property, the Sustainable Bukop Association has been given notice to vacate.
Did they?
I believe they did so, or they had done so at the end of December. They didn't have access to that particular land or to water their vegetation or whatever it was. So now they're seeking an urgent court interdict against several parties, which will be heard, I believe, this Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So Anika du Plessis visited Bukop yesterday to get the community's sentiments, firstly, on this very contentious issue. Take a listen.
A handful of residents residing on the perimeter of the controversial Kustas have shared their unhappiness at what they are dubbing a land grab that has caused a rift in the community.
At the end of the day, if it is allowed Islamically, for whatever reason the DFSG comes up with, or the custodians of the land have maybe gotten permission from the ulama and they feel that it is maybe allowed under certain conditions, you know, maybe they can't grow into the land, maybe they must stay in the tires, whatever, that probably wouldn't be a problem. However, we don't feel that we can trust the people who are involved. If they do come and set up a garden, there must be other people in charge. Too many lies have gone, too much slander, misrepresentation.
An anonymous neighbor says the way in which the Wakaf land was acquired by the Sustainable Bukop Association goes against Islamic law.
The end does not justify the means, and the means by which the sustainable group has gone about it is incorrect and un-Islamic. They did not get permission from the custodians. They created a need during lockdown, which was not there, because there was a thriving sustainable garden already, as well as a soup kitchen. There were also food parcels being given. So the need that she created, the urgency by which she started it, was not there. And she unfortunately misconstrued the Wakaf, telling the people that Wakaf is for the community. While it is for the community, there are rules which she did not provide those elderly ladies who were actually within her group. And she did not tell them that this specific Wakaf is for a learning institution. She made them believe that they could do anything on it. The way they've gone about it is incorrect. We've never been against the garden at all. We just always opposed the way she went about it, because she refused to wait for the permission. And we felt that it was our duty to protect the tenets of Wakaf.
However, a concerned resident says the issue has brought to light the importance of understanding the term Wakaf.
I would think, you know, generally people might not understand the concept of Wakaf, because people view Wakaf as they look at a masjid, it belongs to everyone. But, you know, there's certainly different criteria for Wakafs, you know, and for this particular property is specifically been made Wakaf for Islamic institution. And I think that's why it's so important for at least the MJC, who is the, you know, at least the authority in the Western Cape for where the Muslim affairs are concerned, to give that fatwa whether they can have a garden on this property, because the endowment is very specific. So those are the type of things, and I think it's important, you know, that people get educated about Wakaf and the different criteria of Wakaf and what can happen on a Wakaf. I think that was a good thing about it, that there's at least raised some awareness regarding this important concept of Wakaf.
The resident explains why the land has not been used for its intended purpose of an Islamic institution as specified by the initial landowners.
It was essentially based on funding in the beginning, but then Turkish organization that got involved, and they've essentially taken over this project as project managers and also funding the project. So it has been stalled, I think now for a good couple of years, I think about 8 years now by the city of Cape Town, and also some of the neighbors on Lion Street have objected essentially to the view, as the building was, I think, is going to be at least 2 stories above Lion Street. So now they scaled it down, so it's basically in line with that, you know, as a single story from Lion Street. So, and I think, you know, alhamdulillah, there has been some momentum, and the last I heard that the plans are at least at this final stage now at the city of Cape Town. So inshallah, we're hoping, you know, that it gets approved. I mean, there was a lot of stumbling blocks in the beginning, but yeah, so that has been the gist of it now for over the years. It's been mainly been stalled, objections and things like that. And I think at the beginning, people weren't aware, man. They weren't aware what was going to happen here. And then one or two neighbors in Lion Street actually just wrote a generic objection and had everybody signed it. And there were a lot of things that, yes, it's going to be a multi-story, and nobody really knew what was going on. Until the sheikh himself, at the time was Sheikh Jamaluddin, he came, and then they went from door to door and explaining what the UCIT is about. It's a project is going to be, it's going to be Islamic institution. And then people started seeing the bigger picture. And then actually all of them, and Bryan Street, all the Jason neighbors, they withdraw the objection.
An anonymous neighbor explains that if the association is not stopped, it could lead to the land falling into the wrong hands.
And we had a meeting with the civic yesterday, and it was agreed that they will move. We can still negotiate how long it's going to take them to move, but the civic also agreed they must move, and that's it. They must move, and they must withdraw all these charges. And if they don't want to do that, we leave them in Allah's hands. But they cannot build a garden. And the huge risk here is the risk of this land falling into non-Muslim hands. It would set a precedent where any wakaf property can be illegally occupied. And it's not protected by the South African law. So our scholars need to up. They need to step up. The MCC needs to come forward and state that this garden is haram. It's illegally occupied. Even if it takes another 50 years to build a madrasa, but a madrasa needs to be built, and that is for the benefit of the community. That is all that we are interested in. And we cannot stand idly and see the Sharia being violated here.
For VOC News, I am Aniko Duplessis.
Well, there you have it. And of course, we just extended an invitation to both Darul Falah and the Sustainable Bookup Association, Sabuku, to and to engage with us regarding the issue. Darul Falah cited that there's leading proceedings underway. Suraya Bully, however, the founder of the Sustainable Bookup, agreed to chat to us this morning. But I want to just also make mention, of the statement that is dated on the 6th of January. And a quote from Darul Falah study group, it says, it is untrue that the land has been abandoned, and a paper trail exists as evidence of the progress made towards this objective over the years, showing various expenses incurred, including architectural fees and correspondence showing our engagements with the city of Cape Town as well as the neighboring properties. That's just one of the extracts from the statement that was released on the 6th of January 2021. Suraya Bully from Sustainable Bookup, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for your time this morning on Breakfast 91.3 FM. Let's get straight into it. Did you occupy this land without seeking permission from the registered owners?
Wa alaikum salam. Shukran for having us on. No, that is not the case at all. And just to rectify, there is no land grab. That our vegetables, our carrots, our beetroots and eggplants are doing a land grab is quite unfathomable. And I don't think that is consistent with Islamic or Sharia.
Okay, we're not Sharia experts, Suraya. I'm asking, did you occupy the land without the permission of the persons that are claiming that they are the owners of the land, like the Darul Falah study group? Did you get permission from them?
Yes, absolutely. There is someone called Aunty Kubra Najjar, who states that she claims that she is a trustee of the Darul Falah study group. And we met with her, a delegation of the Buka met with her, and she applauded our attempts and gave us absolute consent. As long as we planted in the tires, our garden is mobile, and that we can move when the first brick is ready to be laid. So we did have consent.
Okay, so you said it was Kubra Najjar.
That's
and is there any written confirmation? Because usually when people occupy space or they occupy land, there would be some sort of written confirmation right? Whether it was on an email thread, one liner, a WhatsApp message, whatever the case might be. Is there any proof that you can, you know, substantiate that claim?
There were a couple of people with me at the meeting, and they are well-respected people in our community, and, you know, they were there at the meeting.
So there wasn't any paper trail? So there wasn't any paper trail? You.
Not in that respect, but they did also propose a lease to the civic organization. We do have a copy of the proposed lease as well, as we were negotiating about the use of the land.
Okay, let's talk about your understanding about the use of the land, because from what I understand and what has been presented to me, and you know, if any of these things are true, then we're gonna have to have a much deeper discussion into this. So tell me quickly, what's your understanding about the use of this land and the meaning of Wakaf? Just so that I can understand where you are coming from as well, because you know, I've got limited understanding with regards to this. You know, Wakaf must be used for its intended purpose. So explain to me what's your understanding.
This land is to be used for Wakaf purpose, being helping the needy, the poor, and promoting education, with the intention of my uncle, Sheikh Bouli, for it to be a madrasa. And, you know, it certainly is being used as a madrasa at the moment, in that we have a ladies' madrasa there once a week. And we also teaching people how to feed themselves through permaculture and organic gardening courses. And thus far, we've already trained about 50 people in our community of how to grow gardens at home. And this is all to mitigate the economic impact of the lockdowns, which has really impacted our community in terms of the income. And it's certainly not intended to be a blight on our community or a source of criminal and haram activities. And it's not meant to be a rubble dump or to lie fallow. I don't see why the land has to be locked away or used for haram activities, whereas we have Wakaf land, and why we can't hold a madrasa. As our senior ladies in the area came together, they cleared the rubble dump and got rid of all the rubble there and cleared in 2 weeks, set together some tires and are holding a madrasa. I mean, this land has been like this for 50 years.
Okay.
You know, the only people who've had beneficial use of it have been drug addicts and criminals. And, you know, and we don't think that that is our Wakaf land should be used in that way. I don't see why it's wrong for us to restore the dignity of our Wakaf land.
I don't think there's a problem either with having to restore, you know, the dignity of Wakaf land, quote unquote, Suraya. So thus far, we've established that you have had a meeting, according to you, with representatives of the Darul Falah study group. There's no paperwork in place. We've got that there. We also understand that what your purpose is and what your understanding is with regards to Wakaf. Now, let's try and move now forward, right? So once these issues started raising its heads, have you engaged with the Darul Falah to come to a compromise and then to document whatever agreement or compromise that you have now sort of reached and document that? Have you done that?
Yes, we actually, the civic tried to mediate the process. And
no, the civic did mediate the process. They did mediate the process, but there wasn't a resolution. We'll get to the civic in a minute. I'm asking whether or not, After this thing has raised its head, come last year, November, December, up until now, did you engage the Falah study group before, at like the end of the statement says, this thing is now, both parties have been seeking legal advice. Now, before we get to that part, I'm asking, did you engage them even before that?
Absolutely. We've been open to speaking with anyone who claims to have an interest in the land. But they are now refusing to engage with us in a respectful manner or at all.
They don't have an interest in the land, Suraya. They don't have an interest in the land. According to the paperwork that they've presented to us, is that they hold ownership of the property in trust.
To finish off there, we've tried to actually phone. I've tried to phone Antikubra Najjar again. To ask her why they are doing this now, whereas we had an agreement and, you know, that we could use the land. And, I mean, she's basically just slammed down the phone, has been unwilling to speak to me. I've also tried to...
Did it cross your mind that perhaps she wasn't authorized to give you permission? If something is in a trust, my goodness, the Mowbray Magbara is sitting on a trust.
Yeah.
They can't even make a decision on their own with regards to amending times. That is what I'm just trying to understand, Suraya, where did things go south? Because if you're mentioning Kubra Najjar, in fact, if you can, I'd like you to send me her number on my WhatsApp line in studio so that we can get somebody from the Darul Falah study group, because clearly you're saying that you have acted in good faith and that you've had confirmation for you to use the land. So what I'm saying is, have you, even beyond Kubra Najjar, even messaged Kubra Najjar and said to her, if you can't speak to me, please then give me another person to do so? The Bukab community is a beautiful niche community to have issues like this in the community that cannot be resolved. So again, I'm asking, did you, other than Najjar, did you speak to anybody else?
Yes, I did. And I did send you the number. I sent a message to your producer last night after they asked me to come on to say that it's critical that the Darul Falah study group, the people who claim to represent them, that they are here. And I did send the numbers to you. Currently, there are three people who are claiming to be the trustees, Kubra Najjar, her husband, Omar Najjar, as well as someone called Ibrahim Sakadia. None of these people are well known by our community, and certainly, I've never personally met Ibrahim Sakadia. And I did phone him as well, because I understand that Omar Najjar is not well, so I tried to contact Ibrahim Sakadia as well, but similarly, he wasn't interested in speaking to me and simply banged down the phone on me as well.
Okay, so now you're heading to court.
Yes, we've been by the in December we got a notice from the Darul Falah study group to vacate the premises by the 18th of December, and on the 23rd of December, when we arrived at our garden to harvest the food, to do our gardening and to hold our madrasa, we found that both the gates had now been locked. And so we are applying to the court for an urgent foliation order to restore our access to the garden.
Okay. And what has happened to the garden in the interim?
The garden has been unwatered other than by the rain that has fallen. And we have made desperate attempts to throw water down from the top, like the Lime Street side that oversees the garden, but without much success. Our garden at the moment is wilting in the sun at the risk of dying entirely if the gates are not reopened as a matter of urgency, and our community needs the food from there. We are mainly constituted of elderly women in our community who don't have much income, and so they are desperately pleading for the gates to be opened. We've also even held a picket, but that has not resulted in the gates being opened.
I refer again to the statement dated on the 6th of January 2021, is that the Darul Falah Study Group, also known as the DFSG, it was formed with the sole purpose of purchasing land for the building and establishment of an Islamic educational institution to be used for the benefit of all Muslim persons in Cape Town. With that said, and it carries on page 2 of that statement, it says that there's been numerous complaints, since October or so last year, that there's, to mention a few, choreographed dance sessions in the roads, the playing of loud music early in the morning, interference with neighborhood children playing in the, at the site, and the hosting of markets where traders subsequently celebrated the substantial profits within the community. So your comment on that?
Most of that is completely untrue. We don't have regular choreographed dancing there. We try to do the Jerusalem for the community at one point, and outside of the Kustas, there's a community space where ladies were just practicing about 2 times and choreographed the Jerusalem dance. And
on Wakaf land?
Not on the Wakaf land, no.
No, okay.
It was in the street, yes.
Okay, but still outside the premises that people can associate it with. It's not a problem. Give me a second. Hold on the line for me, Suraya. I'm going to go for some news quickly.
is VOC Breakfast with Gulam Fakir and Sabira Sheikh Yassa, only on the Voice of the Cape.
Still in conversation, and we're talking about the Bukab Sustainable Food Garden that's heading to court now. And we are speaking to Suraya Bully, and Suraya, shukran for holding up for us there for a second. I'm going to have to wrap up with you before bringing our next guest on to also share comment with regards to this. You were saying, said that you guys now are heading to court. Just before the break, you were giving us reasons. Do you mind continuing?
Yes, I mean, you know, our community needs access to the food that we're growing there. Our plants need water so our community can eat the food growing there. I think also the other thing that we need to consider is that it's not just the people around living around the garden who must be the sole beneficiaries of the garden, but the entire Bukab community, which is made up of over 6,000 people. You know, when you have a handful of people, that, mind you, most of those people being the very same people who opposed the building of the madrasa when it was meant to be built a few years ago. So, you know, how do you allow your Wakaf land to be held ransom under circumstances like those? Understood. And why would we allow, I think it's unfathomable and incorrect for us to allow crime to be perpetrated against our community or our Wakaf land to be disrespected in this manner for so many decades, going on 50 years. Under the circumstances when you have the worst pandemic in 100 years, where our people actually don't have even our food to eat these days.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Suraya Bully. All of the very best, inshallah. And I really pray that, you know, that there can be some sort of compromise and consensus reached between the parties before this even having to get into to the courts or so, inshallah. We usually know to do things differently. So all of the very best to you and your team, inshallah. I want to get into a message, Sabira, before we move into our next guest. It just says that the garden never bloomed since they started, as it was started by lies and deceit. It comes from a comment from 0715.
So let's perhaps unpack the story a bit further. And as we alluded to a little earlier on, Darfalah has cited that they are in legal proceedings, so they won't be coming on air. But we want to unpack the story further. And I do believe Mr. Osman Shahbuddin, the chairperson of the Bukab Civic and Ratepayers Association, joins us online now. Asalaamu Alaikum. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Mr. Shahbuddin, Asalaamu Alaikum. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes. How are you doing? Okay, it seems at this point in time we suddenly have problems with the lines. But like I mentioned, we were going to be speaking with Mr. Osman Shahbuddin. As you know, they were sort of the party that tried to mediate some conversation between Subuka as well as the Darul Falah study group. And it is a pretty contentious issue with regards to, you know, this particular piece of land that is Wakaf land. It's said to be Wakaf land and was meant for a madrasa to be built on this land. However, due to financial constraints and many factors that have changed over the years on the side of the Darul Falah study group, that has not yet been achieved. So, of course, we wanted further background with regards to the ownership of the land, as well as the objective, you know, and what exactly is its purpose. And you know, in terms of what was going on at over the past few months, the land was being used as a sustainable food garden for the community. However, there's been a bit of a division that has happened within the community, some that are for it, some that are against it, etc. So this morning, we're trying to flesh all of that out. But I do believe we do have Mr. Osman Shahbuddin back with us. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam. Glad to be back, Shahbuddin.
All right. So, Mr. Shahbuddin, of course, you know, this issue divided the community. Perhaps giving us some background. Who owns the land and what exactly is the objective and its purpose?
Well, I'll put it this way. The land is, like we quite clearly state in our report, we do not deny the fact or question the ownership of the land. We know for a fact that that land not belongs to any person, but the trust. And the trust is the Darul Falah study group, established by Sheikh Bully in 1970-something, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question about that.
Okay, so let's fast forward to round about this time, end of last year, beginning of this year. I mean, you know, Sobukwe, they're saying that the land has deteriorated over the past 40 years. In your opinion, is this the case? And, you know, why has no development ever carried out?
Well, put it this way, as my tenure as chairperson, also the activist in our community, we always had a challenge with that piece of land, both from a rates point of view, because that land still pays city council rates because it is registered as a club, as a private club, rather than an NPO. So it's quite dated, the structure itself, you know, and it attracts rates from the city council. And each time the rates cannot be paid, they scramble around trying to find people to pay it and things like that. And that happened over a period of time. I think the other thing, too, that we must be quite honest here, it's only the first time that there's a fence on the property. So the property was, over the years, people could walk through the property, do whatever they wanted to do on the property, and whatever the case may be. So there was definitely a need for the objective of the land to be fulfilled.
Okay. Let's understand, you know, since nothing has been going on in this land, like has been cited, you know, in the statement by the Darul Falah group, over the years, you know, positions have changed, circumstances have changed, financial constraints, etc. So they haven't been able to actualize this land for the purpose that it was meant for. So, you know, was this land barren? You know, Surya has mentioned, you know, that it was sort of attracting, you know, druggies, etc., for lack of a better term or words. What exactly was the status of this land with regards to all of this, and why not have something like a project like the Sustainable Food Garden to sort of keep all of this at bay?
Well, put it this way, initially when we first heard about the Sustainable Food Garden, from a civic point of view, we actually supported the idea, you know, because there's always a good idea for growing vegetables, particularly in the lockdown and the COVID situation that we're still in. And I think the challenge comes in the sense of legalities, you know, where we found out later that not only the Darul Falah, but also the people that wanted to build on the piece of ground, the UICT, which is a Turkish organization, that they did not give permission for the garden. And that is where we got involved. And I say we, the civic then nominated a task team. And the task team was not only of civic members, but normally of people within the community to investigate it. And we brought out a fully fledged report. And the challenge that we found is that there's a number of challenges that you have these personalities on the one side, but you had to take that aside and ask yourself, what is the objective, why we were doing it in the first place? And the objective is very, very simple. You found this group of women that planted things on the ground. We then made quite clear that they have to move because it creates conflict. And the
what sort of conflict are we speaking about?
Well, conflict was the owners, and the owners, I would say, the trust. Conflict with the builders, the people that want to develop it, and conflict with the neighbors in the surrounding area. So you had definitely conflict being generated here. And I think that is what we did not want. In the sense of anything that creates such conflict, is not worth it. There is other places in Boerkamp that gardens can be grown. There is other gardens in Boerkamp. And the challenge that we're sitting with is we need to find peace and end the conflict. And I think that was the objective.
Ms. Chabani,
not to take any sides or telling each other, you know, you're right and you're wrong and you're not this and not that.
All right. Let's hold our thoughts, and we're going to be heading out for a quick ad break. When we get back, we continue with the conversation.
Dylan Fakir and Sabiro Sheikh Yassar. Only on The Voice of the Cape.
So 7:45 is where we're at this morning. For the better part of the morning, we've been speaking about the battle that's been brewing over the land in Bukop, known as the Kustas, where a group of community members created a sustainable food garden last year. Of course, that is the matter of contention this morning. We do have online the chairperson of the Bukop Civic and Ratepayers Association, Mr. Osman Shabadeen, as well as a sustainable Bukop Surya Buli is still online with us as well. Mr. Shabadeen, if we could ask, you know, a little earlier on, you alluded to the report, you know, that was founded by the Civic in terms of the Civic trying to mediate on this matter. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it was not successful if this is going to be heading to courts.
Absolutely. This is what we were trying to avoid. Within the report, we clearly stated we don't want to get into a legal, for this thing to become a legal situation. And that is why we tried to intervene. And I think that is where we are at. We definitely don't support a court case of this nature.
You know, for all parties at this moment in time, you know, is everyone's hands now tied? And do you think this matter best plays out now, you know, at courts, even though you're saying, you know, you don't feel it's the best, but what other route or method to go forward?
I'm a born optimist to a point, inshallah, that you know, at the 11th hour, we can still make a deal in the sense of, one, unlock the gates, let these people water their garden as it is, because there is plants inside. And secondly, give them a negotiated time to exit. And then also look at all types of things that went wrong in order to create such a conflict, so that we can learn from such a thing. And the question is, what is going on? The Kustas, we know it's earmarked for a madrasa or something like that. But it needs to have to go through a public process in the sense of what type of madrasa, who runs it, what is it all about, and things like that. So let that thing still go forward. And let it. But the main important thing is peace. We need to end the noise and we need to end the conflict. And I think that is the most important thing here. It's not about personal egos or about anything else. If something like this happens in a small community like Bukop, everybody loses. And this is why the Civic is so concerned. And we are concerned about a conflict like this do not end when the first plant is harvested. It's sometimes keeps on for generations. And I think we need to stop it now. And we will try to, from a civic side, we already engage a number of role players in trying to find a solution before tomorrow, inshallah.
All right. Well, Mr. Shabadeen, wish you all of the best with that. I do know Surya is still online. So, Surya, you've got the next 20 seconds. Any final comments from yourself?
Hello, am I still there?
Yes, go ahead. You have 20 seconds. You'll find your closing comments.
Yes, I mean, inshallah, you know, maybe find the solution, may the gates be open so that we can, you know, access the garden, water our plants, and for the community to eat our food. And I mean, you know, we never intended for any community conflict to be generated from this, but rather for our community to be brought closer and for people to have help during the pandemic, which has been devastating on our community.
All right, we'll leave it that for this morning. Surya Buli, Sustainable Bukop, as well as Osman Shabadeen, the chairperson of the Bukop Civic and Race Payers Association.